Tonight I want us to look back into the book of Genesis, chapter number 39, and we'll look at some verses here, and we're going to study about Joseph's faithfulness. And of all the characters in the Bible, Joseph certainly is a character of faith and faithfulness. Every task that came before him, he was very faithful to the Lord. So in Genesis chapter 39, let's stand together as we read verses number 2 through 6, and then verse 21 through 23. Genesis 39, and we'll begin reading in verse number 2. I like the first part of verse 2. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." What a blessed statement that is to be made about an individual. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Look at verse number 21. Verse number 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. There's that statement again that tells us that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the prisoner and the and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Notice why. Because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. All right, you may be seated. Joseph is one of the great characters in the Old Testament, even the entire Bible, of an example of faithfulness. Joseph had a rough beginning with his brothers. We know the story, and we'll maybe look at that in a little bit. But every time you see Joseph, you'll find him working and serving and doing whatever the task is before him and just remained close to the Lord. Joseph didn't have... Somebody said, "Well, I'd sure like to have a life like Joseph." Well, you better read all of his life. You better read everything about him before you say that, because there were some areas of Joseph's life that was very hard and very difficult to go through. But those problems and those difficulties were part of the reason that Joseph was very faithful and made him the man that he became and made him the man that God could bless, other than the Lord was with him from the very, very beginning. A man by the name of Arthur Pink wrote a book years ago. I think the copyright is 1922, so it's not a new book. It's an older book put out by Moody Press. In that book, he lists 101 ways, I believe it is, that Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so of all the Old Testament characters, you'll find all of them, many of them, had became and were a type of the Lord, but Joseph fulfilled many more areas and one of the fullest ways of a type of Christ than any. Adam was a type of the Lord's headship, and Abel was a type of his death. Noah was a type of his providing a refuge. Melchizedek was a type of the Lord's priesthood, and Moses, of course, a type of the prophet, and David was a type of he being king. And so all those men represent, and in typology, point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fullest and most striking of all the examples and all the men in the Bible that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it is Joseph and his life. I put down here, I looked at these things this afternoon and just sort of tried to get my thoughts. As you read the story of Joseph, as you read the story of his life, you'll find there are five major important places in Joseph's life. You find his parents' home, how that he was trained, and in that first those formative years of his life, I believe he was trained in the ways of the Lord. Then you'll find he was put in the pit. His brothers hated him, and they put him in the pit. And then later on, he is in Potiphar's house. There's where the verses we read tonight is where he is in the house of the Egyptian, and he's in Potiphar's house, and then he's placed in prison. And then the final summation of his life, he's put in the palace. And boy, I tell you, thank the Lord tonight for the full scope of Joseph's life. Someone has said that Joseph was very different in his ways and means and the things that he did, but he was not really as different as what we maybe think he is, and he certainly maybe is different from the Egyptian world that he was in, and so are we to be different. And what stands out in the life of Joseph that made him different was his faithfulness to his God and the faithfulness to the Lord, and that made him different to the eyes of people around him. You know what? When we're faithful to the Lord, we're going to be different to the people around us. And the world around us is going to look and say, well, there's something strange about that crowd, and there's something different about them. And sometimes they won't like the difference. They won't like what they see. And it brings about animosity because of the faithfulness of God's people to the Lord. And so tonight I want us to look at some of the things about Joseph and just see his faithfulness that he had and how the Lord blessed his life. And I believe if the Lord could bless Joseph's life, I believe he could bless us. If God could bless Joseph of the Old Testament some 1,700 years before the birth of Christ, I believe he can bless us some 2,000 years after the birth of Christ because we serve the same God and the same ways and means are here before us, and therefore we are to take these things and notice what God did with Joseph and why, and how that he can also do that with you and I. First of all, Joseph had to make some decisions in his life. He had some things that he had to decide about. And we know the story of his younger years, how that he had dreamed the dreams, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But in his early life, he had to make some decisions that he was going to serve his father. He was going to be faithful to the man of God, to the man of the house. He's going to be faithful to his father. And Joseph knew God. He didn't just know about God, he knew God, and there is a difference in that. A lot of people know about the Lord, a lot of people know about God, but very few people know God in an intimate relationship as we prayed about a while ago, as a father-child relationship that we have. And if we know God like that, it will make a difference in our life, and there will be some decisions that we can make based upon what thus saith the Lord, and some decisions in our life to serve God and to be faithful to God and to honor the Lord in every aspect of our life. We read there in verse number 2 that the Lord was with Joseph. Now he has been put in the pit. He's been lied on. His brothers told the father that he had been killed, and when they had sold him to the Midianites, and he ended up in the Egyptian house of this man by the name of Potiphar. And so we find that in all his activities here in the first part of his life, and he's probably somewhere around 17, 18 years old this time, and he is now put in a place, an authority, a position. He's grown, he's matured some, but the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. We read down through verse number 6, it says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. You know why he was a goodly person and why he was well-favored? Because he trusted God. And because God was upon him and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But when God is upon us, that does not make us immune to the things and the things that happen and problems that come our way. I mean, just because we're saved don't mean we're not going to have more problems. Just because we're faithful. I've had people ask me, said, Preacher, I've done this and I've done that. I don't understand why God permitted that to come in my life. Well, just because we are a servant of the Lord and just because we are faithful to God doesn't make us immune, and God doesn't build a hedge about us that the cares of life do not come upon us. I don't have to tell you, we still get sick. We still have problems. We still have to have surgeries. We still have to have all those things, difficulties. And by the way, the devil's after us, and he's seeking how to destroy us and how to defeat us. But thank God, we can have the Lord with us just like Joseph had the Lord with him. And to do that and to have that, and then we can undergo some of these trials that come our way. Let's look at verse number 7 of chapter 39. And I intentionally skipped this passage a moment ago because I wanted you to see where the Lord was with Joseph. And you better be glad the Lord was with him, but when he's going to some of the things he's going to face. Verse 2 says he was with him. Verse 21 says he was with him. And verse 23 says the Lord was with him. But look at verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things. Now remember, we just read how that Potiphar has put him over all his household. And the Bible says here that this Egyptian didn't even know what all he had other than the food that came to him day by day. He just had what he needed, and he wasn't worried about the bank account. He wasn't worried about what was going on because Joseph was taking care of it. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But Joseph refused. Now here is a part of the decision that Joseph made. He refused. He had made a decision in his early life to serve and trust the Lord. Now he's making another decision that he refuses to commit this sin with this man's wife. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master want not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Notice where Joseph put this sin. It wasn't sin against Potiphar. It wasn't sin against the wife. It was a sin against God. And he said, "Your husband has given me everything that is in his house." And he said, "How can I do this great sin against God?" Notice verse 10. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph," notice those next words, "day by day." She didn't give up. Just day by day, continually putting the pressure upon him, "that he hearkened not unto her." There's some more decisions. "To lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." I preached a message years ago on Joseph's other coat. This is the other coat. He had one coat that got him in trouble, and he left this one behind, and it got him in trouble also. Verse 13, "It came to pass, when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, 'See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, and that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Now Joseph was in prison, but he was not there for any wrong that he did. He was there because of some decisions that he made. And they were correct decisions. They were godly decisions. They were right decisions. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And no wonder verse number 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." It didn't matter if he's in Potiphar's house. It didn't matter if he's in the pit. It didn't matter if he's in the prison. The Lord was with him. And thank God tonight, God can be with us whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever difficulty comes our way, whatever problem sets itself up before us, whatever temptation is there before. God is with us, and therefore we do not have to yield to temptation. The old song says, "For yielding is sin." Now Joseph kept his character and kept his righteousness, and he got in trouble for that. But it's all based upon his decision of his spirituality. He said, "I'm not going to sin against God." Now there's a point of Joseph's faithfulness. That's just one of many. And we are going to look at just a few tonight. There's many of them that show. Another thing that I want us to notice is Joseph's dress. His coat. His first coat showed his father's affection and trust. That first coat that that was given to him, that coat of many colors that we know about and hear about, that was given to him by his father, because his father, the Bible says, he was the son of his old age, and he was the youngest of many, and so his father gave him this coat of many colors, and it brought about animosity in the family. But this second coat that we just read about shows his devotion to his earthly master. He was devoted to Potiphar. But more than that, he was devoted to God, because God was with him and God was blessing him. Joseph certainly put on the robe of righteousness that he had and made the choices and the decision that I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to serve the one that that owns me. Potiphar owned him. He was his slave. He was his servant. And he said, I'm going to be faithful to him. I'm not going to sin in his house. And more than that, he said, I'm going to not sin against my God. He had coats, and those coats, every one of them, both of them, got him into trouble. You and I tonight, we have a coat also. It's called a robe of righteousness. Praise the Lord tonight. We have a robe of righteousness that has been given unto us, which shows our Father's affection to us. Boy, everything God's given me and everything God's given you is because He loved us. He cares about us. He wants us to have the good things of life. And so God has offered His Son, Jesus Christ, and we trusted Him, and He placed upon us the robe of righteousness. Thank the Lord tonight. As a child of God, as a Christian, we have a dress. We have a robe also. We have a coat also. And because of that, that Father's affection to us, we certainly need to be and should be devoted to Him and not sin against Him in our master's houses and the world in which we live, and not sin against our Heavenly Father. Because of the goodness and the grace that the Lord has bestowed upon us, because of the great things God has done for us, we are under obedience and obligation to say, God, You've done all this for me. Surely I can serve You. Surely I can live for You. Surely I don't have to sin and do what the rest of the world does. And surely I can live as a child of God. Because we have a robe of righteousness. Thank God tonight I'm saved. Born again. Nothing that I did made me saved. It's all because of what He did. Praise the Lord for that. Joseph had a robe that got him into trouble. And sometimes our robe of righteousness gets us in trouble with Potiphar's and Potiphar's wives and Potiphar, just the world in which we live. But may God help us to live for Him, serve Him until He comes to clear all that out. And by the way, the Lord was with him even in the lies. The Lord was with him when his brothers put him in the pit. The Lord was with him when he was over Potiphar's house, and God blessed that because of Joseph, because the Lord was with him. Had some duties to do. Had some things he had to get done. He was faithful. We've talked about that. All he was faithful in Potiphar's house. He stood when others would fall. He stood his ground and he said, no, I'll not sin against God. Look in Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 38. There's some other things about Joseph. Joseph had duties given to him, and we've skipped some of the ways how he gets to this point. We'll pick those up in a minute. But now in chapter 41 and verse number 38... Chapter 41, verse number 38, here he is in Pharaoh's court. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? He's talking about, guess who? Talking about Joseph. He's now in, he's gone through some of the trials, and we'll pick those up in a minute. But now we've jumped over, he's gone through that, now he's in the palace. He's in Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh said, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Boy, here's the Pharaoh telling Joseph, you're pretty smart. You're wise. And then he uses the word discreet. That means he had some knowledge and had some wisdom how to use his knowledge. He says here in verse number 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Well, the Lord's sort of with Joseph, isn't he? He's been in the pit. He's been in prison. Now here he is. And Pharaoh said, there's nobody any greater than you. Now here's an Egyptian that knows nothing about God, and he's talking to a Jew that knows God and knows all about Him. And he said, you're over everything I've got. All my people are going to be ruled by you, and there's only one greater than you are, Joseph, and that's me. Sounds to me like the Lord was really with Joseph. Notice what else he says. And Pharaoh, verse 41, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it up on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen. Oh, there's some more clothes, fine linen. And put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him and bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph all of a sudden had some mighty important duties to do. Pharaoh says, I'm just going to let you run the show. I'm going to let you take care of Egypt. Well, Joseph had those duties because Joseph made some right decisions. Joseph had those things given to him because he was discreet. He was knowledgeable. He did have wisdom. Joseph was put in this position now because the Lord was with him. Now, we can say what we want to, and man may look at it and say, well, these circumstances brought all this about. No, God was with him. And we need to get in our mind that God does what He so chooses. And He does as He pleases with people. So here's Joseph's duties. Now, Joseph, we know he was a dreamer, and he was a person that could interpret dreams. God had blessed him. In my own human thinking, I sort of can imagine that Joseph and his dreams as a child, he may have antagonized his brothers a little bit. Most brothers do that. I don't have any brothers, but I hear enough about it. The more I hear, the more I say, glad I don't have any. But I'm sure maybe Joseph antagonized his brothers with his dreams that he had because he was a special child. You know why? God was with him. And God had blessed him. But these dreams were from the Lord from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 37, you'll find Joseph dreaming dreams as a youth. The Bible says Joseph dreamed a dream. He dreamed those as a youth. In chapter 40, time has progressed. He's not a youth now. He's not a child. He's not a young man. He's on up in his middle years. And we don't know how old he was, but in chapter 40, the butler and the baker, they have a dream, and Joseph interprets it for them. Now, one of them sort of liked the interpretation, and one of them didn't. One of them was going to be restored to his place of doing his work, and the other one, he was going to have his head lifted. And Joseph says, just remember me. Look over in Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. The baker was hanged. He had dreamed a dream, and he gives it out to Joseph. Joseph gives an interpretation, and the butler had a dream, and Joseph told him. Verse number 22, it says, and he hanged the chief baker. That's what Joseph said would happen. As Joseph had interpreted to them, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph said, now all I ask you is to remember me. When you get out of prison, you remember who told you. The interpretation is, just remember me. But the very thing that is said here in the last verse, but forgot him. Well, guess what? But the Lord knew him. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord remembered him. And the Lord took care of him. And Joseph interprets the dream. Pharaoh has a dream. And Joseph interprets that dream. That's where we was reading a while ago. Just right after that. And the years of famine were prophesied. And it happened just like Joseph said. The years of good was there, and they were able to stock up, and then the years of famine came. Just like Joseph said, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. So Joseph was able to do that. Why? The Lord was with him. That's the only reason he could do it. The Lord was with him. Why could Joseph do the things that he did? Why were the decisions that he made correct? Why was the dress that he had correct? And why were the duties given him? Why? Because the Lord was with him. And that made him faithful. Why could Joseph dream and interpret his dreams and then interpret somebody else's dream? Why? Because the Lord was with him. The old butler may have forgotten him, but God didn't forget him. You can be assured the world may forget you, but if you're a child of God, thank the Lord he doesn't forget us. He knows us. Joseph had the Bible says he was a goodly man. He had a disposition about him. He was well favored. He was respected. He was honored. He was feared by his brothers. They feared him. That's why they put him in the pit. They hated him, and they feared him for all the things that he said, because he said one day, you're going to bow down to me. And they didn't like that. They said, we'll take care of that. If he's not around, we won't ever bow down to him. Little did they know that God's working all this out. God's taking care of it. He was a goodly man. He was a godly man. He was well respected. Pharaoh talks about that respect that he had for him. Potiphar respected him. Now his wife didn't, but Potiphar did. And so his disposition was one that he was just a goodly man, just a well-favored man. The brothers hated him until they saw how much he loved them. How much we hate God and how much we are despisers of the things of God until we see how much he loves us. And they saw that in Joseph's life. Joseph had a devotion to his father. He had a devotion to his earthly father, his heavenly father. He was devoted to Potiphar. He was devoted to the butler and the baker. He was devoted to Pharaoh. He was devoted. Talk about having somebody on your side. I'd like to have a bunch like that. He was just there. Genesis chapter 40 tells us that, I mentioned that a while ago, that they forgot him, but boy, he was still devoted to them. And then Joseph's destiny. Here's the rest of the story. Somebody said, boy, I like this part. Now, I don't like the pit, and I don't like the prison. I don't like the trials and the temptations, but I sure would like to be where Joseph is. Sometimes we have to go through all those things to get where Joseph was. The Christian life is a life of battles. And I'm afraid too many times as preachers we have sort of painted a picture that the Christian life is all fun and games and joy and all the problems are over and difficulties are gone. But it's not that way. We're not the name it and claim it group. We're not the prosperity gospel people. We believe what God says, and we're sure that when we get in the family of God that there's an enemy out there that fights us and battles us and goes against us, but thank God he's with us. And that's just like Joseph's life. Joseph's birth, his life, his death all showed that he was a chosen vessel for the Lord. I love the statement there where he tells his brothers long later, he said, you meant it for my harm, but God meant it for my good. And Joseph understood exactly that he was a servant of the Lord. While those brothers, they said, we'll get rid of that dreamer. Well, he's just a silly kid. Our father loves him better than he does us. Look at that coat. Boy, you know, envy, tear you up. His father loved him because he was the son of his old age. And He showed, he put his love, but he loved those other boys too. You see that later in his life. But we find here the real reason for all this that happened is that God had a plan that he was going to save Israel. He's going to save his people. You see, God doesn't get up in the morning and wonder what took place today or yesterday. God doesn't get up in the morning and wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. And Joseph tells them, after he has revealed himself to them, and this is some of my favorite passages of all the Bible, he says in verse 4 of chapter number 45, he says to his brothers, "Come near to me." And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Can you imagine how those brothers felt? They'd already recognized something about this guy scared them. Why, they had a lot of Joseph would plant things in their packs and they'd be accused of things just to get them in the right place. And so now Joseph, he takes, the Bible says that he says, I'm Joseph. He tells them in verse 1, he could not refrain himself before them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He was there with his brothers that hated him and despised him and threw him away and discouraged him and said, "We'll not have you rule over us. We'll just sell you." And here those brothers stand, and they hear those words echo through their minds and their ears, "I'm Joseph, your brother." No one could deny the hand of God upon him. In verse number 6, he says, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which shall be neither earing nor harvest." In verse 7, boy, this shouting ground. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Joseph was so faithful to the Lord and knew that the hand of God was upon him that Joseph said, "I accept everything that came my way as God's perfect will." Now, I don't know if he did that over a period of time. But when he gets to this point, he says, you did it for my harm. You wanted to hurt me. And you did it to destroy me. But he said, God did it for you, not only my good, but for your good. He said, God put me in this position to save you with a great deliverance. He even recognized all these things that happened to him was not the plan of the family. It wasn't the family plan for Joseph to be in Egypt. It wasn't the plan of the family for Joseph to be where he was. It was God's plan. And God not only planned it, but God made it happen. And I just believe God still does that. I believe God still makes things happen. He has a perfect will. He has a purpose in our life. And he certainly has a purpose for this old world. And there's a day out there appointed somewhere that Jesus is coming again. And God knows where it is, and God's going to make it happen just like he wants it to. Some people say, "Well, that's fatalist." No, that's scriptural. I just believe I serve a God that's sovereign. I have no problem dealing with the sovereignty of God and the sovereign grace of the Lord. I have no problem with that, because I wouldn't want to serve any other God. There's no other God that there is. I had to, a song came to me then. I had to call people and find out, what's this song? Called Steve Allen, he wasn't home. I knew he'd know it. And I asked David, and he said, if I get in here and play it, he said, I think I can figure it out. So I called Betty, and she starts humming it. And I said, well, I know the song. That's Rock of Ages. I just didn't think those words were in that song. So I get the book out. You know, you and I tonight, the old song says, "Nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cleave. Thank God tonight everything we have is because of Him. The grace of God is mocked today. It's a doctrine that's belittled. It's a doctrine that's torn down. It's a doctrine that some people are afraid of. But boy, I tell you what, from Genesis to Revelation, this is a book of grace. And some people are even afraid of the term sovereign grace. But He is sovereign, and He gives grace. I told somebody not too long ago, I said, you just let me do the explaining what I believe, and I'll tell you, you can use those terms all you want to. The grace of God is the greatest active force in every life that is upon the face of the earth. The grace of God was active in my life before I got saved because He brought me to a place of understanding. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Grace and faith. You can't separate them. Faith is a gift that God gives us where we can whereby honor Him and fall upon Him as a sinner. And the active force in our life as a child of God is the grace of the Lord. He gives us not only saving grace, He gives us serving grace. He gives us living grace. And one day He'll give us dying grace. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Amazing grace. Thank the Lord for the amazing grace of the Lord. And any way you think about it, it's just amazing. And Joseph's life is a life of typifying and showing forth the grace of God and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph, one of the great characters of the Old Testament. Let's stand together tonight.